This is Kate from conversationswithkate.net, inviting you to join us and improve your listening comprehension while you learn from conversations with my guests from all over the world. I created this podcast for English language learners who want to stress less and become more confident when speaking in English. This is episode number 22. It's part two of my conversation with Shanti Kumaraswamy Street, an independent business English trainer at EnglishWithATwist.com. Join Shanti and I as we discuss international English and the responsibility for communicating effectively, whether you're a native or non-native English speaker. We come up with some tips and good reminders for everyone. So I want to go back to business English for a little bit right now. You, after you studied, you went into the world of finance, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And so you have a long history with business. And I'm wondering if you've seen a change as far as English being required as the language of international business. It really seems like it is now. I mean, many of my clients say, you know, our business has gone international. It's just not a question anymore. I just must improve my English.
Absolutely. I mean, sorry, because I was thinking back about also when I started. And yes, and to be honest, I mean, of course, I'm looking at it from the UK perspective. So, you know, I stayed in the UK and I made it my home here. And I remember when applying for jobs, you know, and I put down that I could speak French and I could speak Italian, they were so not interested. You know, most of the UK companies, they just look and they go, yes, and what else can you do? Because, you know, that was just not an added value that you were offering, because they're thinking, yeah, well, you know, the business, everything will be conducted in English. We're not really worried about it. So there's never been an appreciation in the UK till today of speaking modern languages, speaking other languages other than English. By contrast, of course, for us, all our clients, they are in that situation where if you don't, you know, if you can't use English as this lingua franca of, you know, business, then, you know, you're in trouble. And I have found this, obviously, I had my 20-year experience, and it used to annoy me that you weren't appreciated for the languages you spoke, you know, because who cares? You know, you speak English. I'm not interested in you. Then, of course, I changed career and then I'm teaching business people who are very, very proficient, experts in their area, very experienced. And suddenly they're to a situation where more and more companies are merging or being taken over. So they end up being with multinational companies. You know, a lot of my clients are between 30s, 40s, 50s, they're getting to that point where they want to be promoted to senior level. Suddenly, they need a good command, not a perfect command of English, or they are being merged, they're taken over, and suddenly they are facing teams that are multinational teams. Mm-hmm. And where the decision is suddenly having always conducted business in their own language, suddenly the lingua franca is going to be English. So suddenly it's a scramble of, oh my goodness, now I have to speak in English. So I have, on the one hand, I had those sort of clients who suddenly thought, oh, and so it was, I have to do this. I don't want to do this, but I've got to do it. And it soon became apparent that most people who study business English have to do it because if they're going to continue in their work, this is not a choice they're making. Mm-hmm. This is something they just have to do. And there's so much involved in that, the psychology. Suddenly you feel inferior, and yet you're a senior position, you've got a senior position, you've done so well, and then you're struggling for words, you're struggling to communicate. I find so many of my clients that they want to communicate at that sophisticated level of language that they are used to, and they're so frustrated because they are unable to do that. And it's having to change that mindset of saying, you don't have to do that. Particularly if you're not going to be communicating with native speakers of English. Mm-hmm. But even if you are, there's a mix. What I have noticed, though, in the last few years is now there's a conversation going on now with native speakers of English of saying, people, you're going to have to start speaking international English. There is no such thing. You know, you cannot just sit in your British English or your American English or your and expect everybody else to understand your colloquialisms, understand your idiomatic expressions, and have to adapt to how you communicate. You have to adapt. So often, I'll be talking to some of my peers, my English speakers, and even my husband when I had the full immersions. You know, he'll be explaining something to my client, and I'll say to him, right, paraphrase that, because there's absolutely no way and no reason why they should understand that. They have never heard that. That's a British English colloquialism. So read, say that sentence. Oh, right. Whereas, you know, there's always this idea that my clients are going, oh God, they don't understand me, so it's my fault. I'm thinking, well, actually, no, not necessarily. Often it's because they're not making the effort to be understood by you. So I'm trying to also empower my clients to say, find another way to say, not you don't understand, and therefore it's your fault. It's, could you please explain that another way? Because there's no way, reason why I should understand a colloquialism that only in Britain could be said that way. You know, you have to, you have to make yourself also understood. It's not a one. And, you know, maybe that person has a terrible accent. I mean, you know, everyone wants to speak British English with this standard accent that they have in their mind, and I'm not too sure where it comes from. You speak to a Mancunian, someone from Manchester, you speak to a Welshman, you speak to a Scottish person, or even if I speak to someone in the deep south in America, I have no idea what they're saying. And I'm a supposedly native speaker of English. I don't turn around thinking, oh, poor, oh gosh, it's me. I don't. No, we need to turn that around. You know, I've had phone calls. You know, you call your customer service or whatever, and they're on the phone and they speak at some ridiculous pace with their accent, which I have no idea. Even their accent is not so much their accent. It's just they're speaking too fast. Mm-hmm. So, madam, you have to do this and go. Excuse me? Could you just slow down a minute? Now, someone who's not, you know, someone whose English is a second language would immediately think it's their fault. And they go, oh, gosh, I didn't understand a word they said. I mean, I've had to say to some people, could you please slow down? And so what I try and say to my clients is, what would be a good thing is tell them you're making a note of what they're saying. And say, look, I'm just going to write down what you're saying so I understand what you're saying. And that forces them to have to slow down. So could you please repeat that bit? Did you just say? Because that forces that person to slow down and repeat. And then you're more in control than sitting there going, I didn't understand a word. Could you please send me an email?
You said so much there. I want to go back and just recap a little bit of it, because that was an excellent point about international English, that we should all be trying to speak a more international English, something that is more easily understandable. We don't need to be using all of the idioms, all of the colloquialisms, the phrasal verbs even, you know, all the things that intermediate and advanced English speakers are trying to learn. I think that I would like to explore that more, actually. What would that mean? Is that also accent reduction, you know, that wherever we come from as native speakers of English, wherever we come from in the world, we could try to reduce our accent and speak slowly, more slowly?
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's the colloquialisms, it's that slang. And yes, and it is slowing down. But my concern is when people slow down, they start raising their voices. You know, they slow down and then start talking like as if we're all deaf. You know, it's like when you go on holiday and, you know, because do you speak English? And I'm not accredited. There's a balance here. But I think, you know, this is the tricky part, though. It really depends, because I've had clients here who maybe when it comes to conversational English and social English, they struggle. But the moment they get into their business jargon, they're completely, you know, very are comfortable in it, and they'll start. So, of course, in their little sphere, they get each other. They kind of can communicate. It's the social side that then they lose it themselves. And even with those business jargon, I mean, I spend a lot of time also with my clients is saying, okay, business jargon. Now, I try and also force them to think outside. Pretend you are talking to someone who doesn't know your business. how are you going to communicate what you do? Because we, all of us tend to do this. We are very good at you hiding behind jargon. I mean, the business world, the financial world, you know, ask someone how a net asset value works. They'll give you some gobbledygook. And you go, well, that's terribly clever for you, but not clever for me because I don't understand what you said. And so that's not really clever communication. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the other things is I'm always just saying to clients is think about the message you're trying to deliver. What are you trying to communicate to your people? And remember that they have to be the one understanding you, not you feeling good about how you've communicated. Yes, it's nice. But you want them to be looking at you knowingly, nodding their head and going, I get it. Because that's when you realize my message is being delivered here.
Yeah. So now take it back from the point of view of our clients or the people who are listening to the podcast. So if you're struggling and if you are feeling less than, you know, because you can't speak at the same level that you can in your native language, there are some really good things that you can do. You can, we have an elevator speech. What is it that we do? You can practice your elevator speech, what you say about yourself and your company, and you can practice saying that in different ways so that you're very comfortable saying it in English. If you're talking to someone else and they are speaking too quickly on the phone or in person, you can ask them to slow down so that you can write it down. You mentioned that. You can ask them to say it in a different way. So that it's perfectly fine for any of us communicating in any languages, you know, to slow down and to ask for clarification, to make sure that we understand. And if we're the speaker, to, you know, check for understanding, to make sure that the other person does understand. I love that you said, you know, really pay attention to the person who you're trying to communicate with. Are they getting it? And if they're not, how can you say it in a different way?
Yes, or giving examples. I mean, often when my clients are struggling, I go, you know, and I go, give me an example. And they start giving an example. And if they're speaking to someone who's maybe got better English than them, the chances are that person will offer them the word or the expression. Oh, you mean this? Right, yes.
You've been listening to my conversation with Shanti Kumaraswamy Street. To hear the final part of our conversation, tune in next week. You can find out more about Shanti at www.englishwithatwist.com. If you have comments or questions, make them on Facebook, Instagram, or drop me a line using the form on my website. If you'd like access to select transcripts, including this one, visit www.conversationswithkate.net to join our ever-growing community of intermediate and advanced English language learners. Special thanks to Aaron Burdett for our music. This is Kate. Remember that every day is a gift. I'm honored that you spent some of your precious time with me. Thank you for listening. Until next time.